Kia ora and welcome to Nerman's Podcast, episode 300. Okay, that's just silly because nobody would be cheering for that. Well, I would because I finally made it. I finally made it to episode 300. It only took all these years. I probably ought in quote marks, I'm making little scare quotes with my fingers. You can't see that. I ought to have made it to this point several years ago, but hey, better late than never. And it could have been never, and it wasn't. So, yeah. Today is Monday, June 24th, 2013, and it is Matariki in New Zealand, which is where the title of this episode comes from. Matariki is sometimes known as Māori New Year, and what it refers to is that sometime around this time of year, the constellation Matariki rises in above the horizon. Matariki is known in the Northern Hemisphere as the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters, and it traditionally marked a time when they knew that winter was, well, it was basically winter, and they could sort of start counting the days down until spring. But traditionally, they also would draw prophecies for the coming year based on what they saw when Matariki appeared. If it was hazy, it meant one thing. If it was clear, it meant another. Personally, I would have just thought it meant atmospheric conditions varied. But hey, I'm not superstitious or anything like that, so maybe I just kind of missed the point. But nowadays, Matariki has become something of a celebration in New Zealand. And a lot of people have been talking about making a public holiday during Matariki to celebrate Matariki and dropping Queen's birthday. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but it would. It's about the same time of year. Queen's birthday is what's actually reigning sovereign's birthday. Not necessarily. We just call it Queen's birthday because she is the queen. That's the first Monday in June, and so this is sometime thereafter. Now, Auckland right now has a Matariki festival going on, and I will try to remember to put a link in the show notes. And that runs from, let's see, the dates were June 22nd to July 22nd, so it's just getting underway. A lot of stuff going on around that, so that's very exciting. But they're also talking about doing more fireworks celebrations. And one of the reasons why Matariki is taking off is because it is a New Zealand event, New Zealand observation or celebration, if you will. Whereas so many of the other things come from overseas. Waitangi Day is New Zealand's national day, so that putting that one aside, Queen's birthday, yes, she's the Queen of New Zealand, but she is British. And Easter, Christmas, New Year's, all of those come from overseas. They all come from Europe. Guy Fawkes Day, which isn't a holiday but is widely observed, is English or British. English, I suppose, more specifically. And so there are all of these things that are foreign, whereas Matariki is New Zealand, a New Zealand holiday or New Zealand event or whatever, because it's not really one specific day. That's one of the things about it. So that's the one of the reasons why it's taking off. Of course, there are plenty of people who don't like it because it is Māori. We do have our racist underbelly in New Zealand, as every country does. And there are people who don't want any observations of Matariki because they say, them Bloody Marys, they've got enough already, or words to that effect. So I don't know that it's actually going to become a major festival anytime soon, but I think in the long run, it will probably become a much bigger deal than it already is, because people are starting to kind of warm up to the idea, which is ironic because this is the middle of winter, and or beginning of winter, technically. And we've just gone through several days, better part of a week, of really bad winter weather, bad by New Zealand standards. By Chicago standards, it's nothing. The temperature last night dropped down to around 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's the coldest it's been so far this winter. But by Chicago standards, that's spring, well, or autumn or whatever, but certainly not winter. And that's about as cold as it's going to get. But we had days last week where the rain was just constant and very heavy. There was a lot of flooding going on. There was a lot of damage in Wellington in particular, a lot of wind damage in Wellington. And there was also a lot of snow in the South Island, and that caused problems for the for sheep farms and so on. And but we didn't fail too badly. We had a couple hailstorms, or what do you call it? It's not a squall exactly, but a dumping of hail. We had a couple of those, and at one point our deck looked like it had been snowed on because there was so much hail sitting on it. And so that's pretty much about as bad as it gets in wintertime in Auckland anyway. And I suppose it's not all that bad. It is still strange to me that for the first time ever that I ever have driven in hail, it was here in Auckland and just this winter. But weather is getting worse as climate change accelerates, and that's not a good thing, certainly not a good thing to look forward to. Well, there are lots of different things I could tell you about today. By the way, this is not a special episode, despite my playing around at the beginning. I'm not doing anything in particular for episode 300, because it's a nice round number, but let's face it, it's just 300. If I ever make it 500, we'll talk about it. But that's, I don't know, we'll see. But there are a lot of things going on, as there always are, and I do have a lot of feedback and so on that I want to tell you about today or go over today. But one of the things I wanted to tell you about, because I'm afraid I'm going to forget, is that there is a contest, I suppose. Yeah, it is a contest going on in Australia right now, and it's being run by Tourism New Zealand, which is the official body that promotes tourism to New Zealand overseas. They run the 100% Pure New Zealand campaign and all of that sort of stuff. Well, they're running a contest in Australia to find the first Australian same-sex couple to marry under the new marriage equality law, which takes effect on August 19th. And I think this is a wonderful thing. I have issues with anybody treating marriage as a prize in a contest, and I've blogged about this. But be that as it may, I think that it is fascinating that a government agency, which is what Tourism New Zealand is getting in on this and is using it as a way to promote tourism to New Zealand. Now, they're doing it in partnership with the Star Observer, which is a gay and lesbian newspaper in Australia. And they're asking people to enter on the Star Observer's Facebook page. And they're going to announce the winner on July 5th, I believe it is, if I remember correctly. And at that point, they're going to say precisely where what the wedding location is going to be. But it may not be July 5th. I just know it is July. I don't know where the 5th came from. It just popped in my head. Anyway, and the quote from Tourism New Zealand fellow was that New Zealand has many stunning wedding settings to choose from. So that suggests to me that they're still negotiating specifically. But I would imagine it'll be something spectacular, perhaps Queenstown. I don't know exactly, but it might be around a winery or something. Could be any number of things. It'll probably be something in an area that they want to promote specifically as well, to try to get maximum attention for it from the Australian media as well, for the area, I mean. So that's coming up, and I just thought that was really kind of cool. And the ad that they're running for, or the slogan, I guess they would call it, for the campaign, and it is from Tourism New Zealand, is 100% pure choice. The word choice is in each letter's color in the rainbow flag. So I'm just tickled pink by that. I think it's a really, really neat thing that they're doing, to use a nice old word. Also, this has nothing to do with anything. I just saw this in the news today, and it just fascinated me. There's this guy in Christchurch who was looking through some old photos of an island called Gardiner Island, which is near Kiribati, which is spelled Kiribati, but it's pronounced Kiribati. And it's of an atoll that they think could be where Amelia Earhart crash-landed on her ill-fated flight around the world. And it's the best evidence they found yet that she could have survived the crash. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. I don't know if that's going to ultimately amount to anything, but if it does, you heard about it here first. Or maybe you didn't. But and I posted on Facebook a story about Google Loon, which you've probably heard of by now, which is a project, I suppose is the word, a experiment where Google is using high-altitude balloons to try to provide broadband, I guess, to particularly remote areas, and they're doing it in parts of the South Island of New Zealand in particular that are very difficult to access. And it's an interesting idea. I don't know ultimately if it's a good solution, but it's certainly an interesting idea. And but it, they're at least proving that there are other ways of achieving what they want to achieve. Now, on the most recently posted episode of Too Political, there's another one I haven't finished editing yet. There is I mentioned our troubles with internet, and specifically getting ultra-fast broadband. Ultra-fast broadband was initiated by the previous labor-led government, and they are planning on rolling it out throughout the country. And labor was going to fund it more heavily, and the current national government, which is a conservative government, is doing what they call public-private partnerships, which is where they get private companies to do the work and make the profits from it. And it's going very badly. It turns out we're not the only ones who are having issues getting connected to this thing. There are 172,000 New Zealanders who can connect to the ultra-fast broadband network, which is basically fiber. There are 5,130 who actually have, which is about 3% of those who can. 172,000 out of 4.5 million is nothing. And so this is going very slowly indeed. In our case, the problem is that, well, they're connecting schools first, schools and universities, which makes perfect sense. And if you happen to live on a street that the fiber's going down, you can connect. But we live one street over from the one that the fiber goes up, so we can't connect. And the earliest that it will be available for us is probably around 2019, so a good 6-7 years from now before we're able to connect to the ultra-fast broadband network. So we're not happy about that, and the only alternative is to move. But we're not doing that, are we? Because I've already discussed that. We are, this is an aside, we're sort of looking at some things we might do to freshen up the house. We've got 2.8-meter ceilings, which is about 9 feet, and or thereabouts. And we're looking at maybe going with a look that's more loft-like. The house was built in 2002, and it would have been designed based on what was popular in the late 90s. So that means that the style of it is beginning to get a bit long in the tooth already. So we're thinking we might just freshen it up a bit along the way. Nothing urgent, nothing, you know, that's going to happen quickly or anything. But sort of what we're thinking about doing now, which I only mentioned because I may forget later on. In fact, I probably will. That's a given, isn't it? So that's some of what's been going on in New Zealand and a little bit about what's going on with us as well. I did want to mention, get my paper out here. I did want to mention, I've talked periodically about this weight loss project. Is that the right word? Yeah, good as any, that I've been engaged in. And ultimately, I'm going to have a lot more to say about that in a future episode. But for now, I wanted to say that, I'm looking at my notes here, that this started in late November, I think it was. And to date, I've lost 11.4 kilos, which is just over 25 pounds in U.S. measurement, which is about 370 grams a week, which is a little over 13 U.S. ounces. And the reason why it's been relatively slow is because I'm not actually dieting. I'm just cutting back and making more sensible choices. And over that time, it's 32 weeks, I think, right at the moment, 33 weeks, 32, whatever. I weigh myself on Fridays. There have been 5 weeks when I actually gained weight back, gained back some of the weight I lost, and then lost it again, and 7 weeks where I didn't change at all. It was just exactly the same. So you can see for a good chunk of this amount of time, it's basically been kind of a slow thing. Actually, it's all been, that's why it averages out so slow too, because of those 7 weeks where nothing changed, and five where I actually gained a little bit of weight. And when I say gained back, I'm talking like 100 grams, 200 grams, which is nothing. So 250 grams would be about a quarter of a pound. So we're not talking about huge amounts of weight, but, you know, actually 250 is half a pound. We're not talking about a huge amount of weight, but still. Now, I said that I lost 11.4 kilos, but I actually, about a year and a half before then, I think it was, I had hit my all-time highest weight. And I am 14.9 kilograms lighter than that, which is 32.84 pounds, 32.84 US pounds, down from my highest weight ever. Now, in some ways, that's not terribly relevant because I'd already lost a good chunk of that before we started on this weight loss program or whatever, before I started, I should say. But nevertheless, it does make me feel kind of good to realize how far I have come in the overall scheme of things. Now, I'm not doing a whole lot of exercising at the moment, which is one of the reasons why this is going slow. However, I have excavated the cross trainer, or elliptical if you prefer, and that was surrounded by boxes. Long story, is surrounded by boxes, and I've dealt with them so that I can actually use it. And I have used it a little bit, but I've got to get into the routine, especially because the weather is just not conducive to going walking at the moment, especially because it gets dark so early. But so I will be working on that as progresses. And as I say, I'm going to have more to say about this in future episodes, but I just thought I would give a progress report because it's just a little over 6 months into it now. And I don't know, I think I'm happy with having lost 25 US pounds in 6 months. I'm okay with that. So those are all the updates with what's been going on with us, with, well, me and here in New Zealand. And now I'm going to switch to some feedback. That's what I'll call it, feedback. And where shall I start? I think I will start with a voice message I received from Kyle in Hawaii.
Well, hello, Arthur. It's Kyle in Hawaii. I'm trying out the audio boo. Hopefully this works. I was listening to your most recent show. It took me a while to listen to it. Get it in my queue to listen, rather. And I'm really happy to hear you again. I can't wait for the next show. I can't wait to hear a bit more. I think you sneak previewed possible future podcasts as far as concerning New Zealand culture, as well as interacting with other podcasters, not only expats, but other New Zealanders. I think that's what you said. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm super excited for it. And just wanted to say, I always look forward to your podcasts whenever they release. So, love you all. Take care. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Kyle. And it's there's no simple way of putting this. I am an idiot. For ever since I lost the phone line, I've been telling people, actually even before then, telling people they can send me an audio boo, just tag it Amarin's and I'll get it. Except that I forgot to subscribe to audio boos that were tagged Amarin's. So I didn't get them automatically. The only way I found out they were there is if I actually logged into audio boo and looked on the website. So Kyle had actually sent me, I think it was three altogether that were tagged with my name. And the only reason I knew to look is because he sent me a message on Facebook saying, have you gotten it? And I thought, what? So I went and looked and realized that I had never bothered to subscribe to audio boos tagged Amarin's. So if you had sent one to me that way, I never would have gotten it. But that's all sorted now. I am subscribed in my iTunes so that I can just download them automatically. If you do an audio boo and you tag it Amarin's, that means that anybody who listens to your audio boo stream can hear your boo, your audio boo. But I will still get it. I will still download it in my iTunes. However, if you are in audio boo, you can also just send me a private message, a private recorded message. And I'm supposed to get an email notifying me that I've received one, and I don't check that as frequently as I should. So that's the public way of doing it is the one way to assure that I do get it because I've subscribed to it in iTunes. If you send me a private message, it does mean I have to check and so on. But you know, there's always trade-offs. But, I mean, unless you're going to say something really private, you probably wouldn't care all that much if it was a public boo anyway, because I play it on the podcast, don't I? Yes, I do. As I did. Anyway, I'm a bit tired today. You'll have to excuse me. Yes, Kyle, you're absolutely right. I am going to get serious about having various people on this podcast, not all of them GLBT, not all of them podcasters, not all of them expats even, but all sorts of different types. Basically, what I'm going to be doing is sort of like I do with my blog, about which more in a minute, and that is that if something interests me, or someone interests me in this case, I will try to get them on the podcast to talk about what it is that interests me, and it could be anything. anything about New Zealand, about being an expat, GLBT, could be anything. And so just sort of it's a way of exploring the things that I'm interested in an audio way and to share it with others. Now, this relates back to my blog because I realized recently that my blog is a personal journal blog, and this is a personal journal podcast. And basically, it is whatever is interesting me at that moment. Whatever interests me at the moment. And it could be anything. In my blog's case, it could be U.S. politics or New Zealand politics. Could be something GLBT. Could be something in pop culture. Could be religion. Could be anything. Whereas in the podcast, I restricted a little bit more down to things that are related to being an expat or living in New Zealand or an expat in New Zealand or whatever. But I'm going to open up just a little bit more to include things that interest me that may not necessarily fit neatly into any of those categories, although they probably still will. Because I'm old. I change slowly. But thank you very much for that, Kyle. I love hearing your voice whenever you send me a message. And speaking of messages, I also wanted to – I've said before that what do you call that thing? It's on my website. Damn it, I can't remember what it's called. That thing where you can leave a voice message on the website itself. It is called – what the hell is it called? I'm bringing it up now. SpeakPipe, jeez. I've said that there's an app for it, and what I've neglected to say, since I'm stupid about subscribing to my own booze tagged with me, I should admit I was stupid about this as well. When you use the app, you have to give the email address you want to send it to, which is arthur@amrinspodcast.com, which is on the website, so it's very easy to find. At least I think it is. But you're also supposed to use an email address that you're sending it from. Now, it is quite possible for you to send it anonymously, I found out. All you have to do is just use arthur@amrinspodcast.com as your email address, too. It's not like it checks or anything. Or actually, I think you'd make one up, too, for that matter. And so if you do want to send one a bit more anonymously, you can do it that way. Or you can just do it from the website because you don't have to, use an actual email address there either. I'm just looking at the SpeakPipe thing on my website, and it says send it via iPhone or iPad. So apparently there's no Android or Windows phone app at the moment. But again, that's limited to 90 seconds, so I'm not sure how useful that is to anybody anymore anyway. So that's the audio comment. Thanks again, Kyle. And I'm going to now move on to the written comments. And the first one is from Paul, who said, first, thank you for your birthday wishes. Second, I agree with you about Pride 48. I feel the same way. I listen and enjoy the shows, but it's changed, and that's fine. I don't think my type of podcast is really the kind of thing for Pride 48. Years ago, before the changes in my podcast, it was perfect for the type of podcast I used to have, and it worked well. Just not now. And I'm also glad to hear you aren't leaving podcasting. After that last show, I had my doubts, but glad to hear your voice will still be around. You know how much I appreciate your views and love to hear them. Smiley face. Thank you, Paul. And see, now I did tell you that Paul and I are not didn't have a falling out or anything. See, that's proof. We still interact quite frequently around. Well, of course, it wouldn't be a podcast without the dogs barking. Anyway, I was trying to say that Paul and I still interact around the interwebs fairly frequently. And speaking of Pride 48, though. I went to the chat room when I could, but I was quite busy this weekend, so I didn't have a whole lot of time. But still, I heard some of the shows. I heard like half of Dubious Intent and half of Ramble Redhead, which was an excellent show, by the way. And I also was in an impromptu after show on, what was it, Saturday U.S. time, and with Daniel Brewer and Adam Burns and Dr. Wesley Stone and Scotty the Little Aussie Battler, and that Peter G. I just don't think. So, that was good fun. And speaking of Little Aussie Battler, because I know I'll forget this, Nigel and I are meeting up with him on Friday as he passes through Auckland on his way to the U.S. So hopefully I'll have a chance to record a little snippet of audio or something while he's here. But the next written comment is from Tim Carmel, who said, Hey, Arthur, thanks for answering my question about the difference between civil unions and marriage in New Zealand. I agree on the adoption of children issue. It's just not a choice on the table for us as well. I'm anxiously awaiting the Supreme Court ruling on both Prop 8 and DOMA with worry in my heart. Thank you, Tim. And yeah, I know what you mean. It is a bit of a concern. But please hold for 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. I just figured I better check to see what the dogs are barking at and make sure there wasn't anything going on. And of course, there wasn't. Just they don't usually bark like that, both of them together, so I thought I'd better go have a look. Anyway, I was talking about, Tim in his comment mentioned what I mentioned about the adoption. And I received an email about that because, I shouldn't say who precisely because I wasn't given permission to read it on the air. But it was from a listener who wrote, hi, I was listening to your podcast on gay marriage, and the piece on adoption raised some questions for me. I believe there is no age restriction on the age of people looking to adopt. And the listener provided me with a link. And thank you very much for doing that. And I looked into it. And the link was to a site called Adoption Options. No, adoptionoption.org.nz. And there's a section called Who Can Adopt in New Zealand, which talks more specifically about that. And with respect to age limit, it says there is no age limit to adopt in New Zealand. It is the birth mom's choice as to who she wishes to adopt her baby, which means that if the birth mom is okay with an older couple, then that would be fine. However, unless there's some other provision in the law I don't know about, and I doubt that there is, I imagine a birth mom could choose not to place her baby with a same-gender couple. That would be something I would be very interested to find out. And because this hasn't come up yet, I don't really know. But it says about gay lesbian couples wishing to adopt, it says only one person in the relationship can apply to adopt, and the other person would have to apply for additional guardianship, which is what I was talking about last time. People who are in a de facto relationship, gay or lesbian couples, can't adopt as a couple. And I'm not entirely sure. Yes, that is true. Yes, I see what they're saying. A de facto relationship is what some people call common law marriage. It is a legally recognized relationship, but there's no registration process or anything like that. However, they are legally a couple, and in many ways. But under the Adoption Act, the only people who can adopt as a couple are a married couple. So a de facto or civil union couple cannot adopt children, although there was a court ruling that an opposite gender civil union couple could adopt because civil unions were in the nature of marriage. And that hasn't gone through all the legal challenges yet, and it's unclear whether or not that applies to same gender civil unions as well. But at the moment, as the law stands, the only couples who can legally adopt are married couples, and from August 19th, that will include same-gender couples. So as it's worded right now, it's true that anyone in a de facto relationship, whether they're same-gender or opposite gender, although also civil unions, whether same-gender or opposite gender, can't adopt as a couple. Only one of them can adopt. But my understanding of the civil union side of it was that anyone in a civil union, if they were in a legal civil union, then neither one of them could adopt because they weren't legally single people, whereas in a de facto, technically they are. But I could be wrong about that too, because I was wrong about the age thing, so who knows? But they said in that same section that with birth parent, in bracket parents, selecting who they would like to adopt their baby, the difficulty might be in regards to birth parents being more likely to prefer to select a married couple. However, this may not always be the case, and a birth parent has the right to choose whoever she wants. And again, unless there's some other provision in New Zealand law I'm unaware of, if that does trump it, let's say if that trumps the Human Rights Act, for instance, then a parent could discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation if they so chose. And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I have a problem with that or not. I'd have to really give that some serious thought. My gut reaction is that I don't, because, you know, you want the birth mother to feel okay about giving up their child. But on the other hand, you know, citizens are citizens, and there shouldn't be an issue. But there are so few adoptions that happen in New Zealand every year anyway. The odds of somebody actually becoming an adoptive parent are really pretty, pretty small. And CIFS, the Children, Young People Services, or whatever it's called, which sort of manages all of this, the care of children and so on, they urge people to become guardians of children rather than, or foster parents, rather than try to adopt children, because there are so few that are available, so few children that are available, that the odds of actually getting a child are pretty, well, I don't know if remote is the right word, but they're long odds. And if you're older, and if there are any health issues involved, you know, all of these things could become a factor that could change all that. But all of this I didn't know until I was prompted to look it up in that that email. So thank you very much for that, listener. And by the way, I obviously always welcome emails, and I try to share them when I can. But the only ones I share in any great detail are ones where the person specifically tells me that I can, like Big Fatty did about Pride 48. Otherwise, I get a bit vague about who sent it, and I might selectively edit what they said in order to avoid any accidentally revealing who they are or too much information about them, I guess. But I do welcome the feedback, and all feedback, whether it's on the site, whether it's one of the voicemail channels that there are, or through email, whatever works. You know, I'm open to anything. Well, nearly. But that is it for today. I've brought you up to date on everything that's been going on since the last episode, pretty much anyway, and all the important stuff. If I've forgotten anything, just shoot me an email or leave a comment or whatever. But that is it for today. And as I said, on Friday, Nigel and I are going to be meeting up with Scotty at Auckland International Airport, and going out for dinner. And hopefully I will be able to record at least a little bit of audio that I can post here later on, just to prove that we actually did meet. And he then will become the second podcaster I've met in real life. The first, of course, being Tom the Ramble Redhead. So, and that joke will then well and truly be over. But that's it for today. Have a great day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's ARTHUR, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.